were to go around the room and ask people what they thought the greatest thing that most teenagers struggle with, what are some of the things you think people would say? What? Drugs? Here, take these, pass these around. Everybody needs a piece of paper, okay? It's coming. I've got a big piece of paper coming for you. What, Haley? Teen pregnancy. I don't think any of the boys in here are struggling with that. It is a problem, though. Drugs, teen pregnancy, what else? What are some of the things that people wrote down last week? Just call them out. Don't worry about raising your hand. What? Divorce? Yep. Sex? Teen pregnancy? That's it? Suicide?
Breakups.
Self-esteem? Breakups.
Alcohol.
Yeah, part of that's just because you're a guy. We're gonna be somewhat immature all of our lives. We'll always think that fart jokes are funny. It doesn't matter how old you are. Okay, girls. I had a lady ask me one day. She's got an 11-year-old and 9-year-old boy, and she was telling a story about how one of them broke wind in the car, and they were both laughing about it. And she asked the question, "When will my boys be old enough that that's just not funny?" Like, I'm 40, and it's still funny, unless it's Bryce, because he does it way too much. Listen, those are all valid problems, but Shanna's hit on what I think is the very core of why we struggle with all these things. Why we struggle with Facebook, or before Facebook, MySpace, text messages, the things you do. Even earlier, part of what you were doing when you were misbehaving was you were posturing. You were setting yourself up so that people would look at you and think a specific thing about you. And we do this oftentimes without even realizing it, that what's going on in our lives is we perceive ourselves a certain way. Now, here's the thing. We don't see ourselves the way we see ourselves. Okay, I know that's confusing. Well, how do I see myself? You see yourself the way you think other people see you. You don't get up and look in the mirror and go, let me just take an honest evaluation of what I'm wearing and how I look. You get up, you look in the mirror, and you think, what are people going to think of the outfit I'm wearing today? And then you begin to process in your mind what you think other people are going to think about you. And whether you realize this or not, this drives 100% of humanity. The desire to be accepted and loved by people. And so what you end up doing is you end up doing things you know you shouldn't do, but you think it will gain you favor, respect, and esteem with other people, and you feel like you need that, and that's why you struggle with self-esteem. On your piece of paper, on this first side, I want you to draw a picture that represents how you think other people see you. It can be a picture of you with big old muscles. It could be a mud puddle because you think people think you're dirt and they trample on you. Okay, I want you to take just a moment and you draw something that represents how you feel people think about you. Go. Yes, all the pins are out.
We don't have pins.
If you don't have a pen, you have to borrow from somebody because all of the pins are out. Now, while you're drawing, I want you to listen. Okay? Part of what we did with our PowerPoint game was to show that there are people who now the world considers them beautiful people. But when you looked at them when they were around your age, well, like the Zac Efron picture, right? I mean, come on, who looks at that kid and goes, you're going to be one of the most sought after sexiest male actors of your day. I know, I don't get it either. What's really funny is that when Zac Efron first emerged on the scene, I wanted to put his face on Omar the Deer in Yonder, because the girls at the time, the then seventh grade girls, all they carried around pictures that they photocopied of Zac Efron in their purses and all over their walls. Not just on their wall, but they had a whole Zac wall with candles and animal sacrifices going on at it. Yeah, it's a little weird. And then you got married women that see Edward, and they swoon, and they stand in line at midnight for tickets to movies that he's in. And some of y'all, when y'all saw his picture, Robert Pattinson, when you saw his picture, you're like, that's from the 60s. What a freak. Now he's the brooding vampire that we all seek after. He just looks depressed all the time. I don't get it. But here's the thing. Bryce and I had this conversation today at Walmart. Yeah, Bryce and I went to Walmart's.
Oh, that's fun.
It was fun. I got a flu shot. I got my blood checked. I got a brace for my arm. And I got Halo Reach. I got Halo Reach because I wanted y'all to think I was cool and you'd accept me. I'm just kidding. I wanted to play the game.
Can I come to your house tonight?
It's right there. No. But you can come up here Friday night and play it. So, Bryce and I were talking, and I believe his exact phrase were, why are all the hot girls snobs? Is that accurate?
I never said that.
Oh, was it hot guys?
No.
Absolutely not. It was hot girls. That was his comment. To which my response was, what makes them hot? And Bryce actually, now catch this, Bryce actually stopped and thought.
Yes.
And he said, that's a good point. Because what ought to make a girl attractive to a guy is the fact that she loves Jesus more than anything else. We look at people and we look at things with this specific set of standards that the world tells us is how we measure a person's worth. And we look at these actors and actresses and these musicians and we think, if I could only be like them, people would love me. The truth is people don't love them any more than they love you, or even any less. These people are considered loved by many because people want to be them. Because deep down inside, they want to be loved. Underneath your picture that you've drawn of yourself, that's symbolic of you, on a scale of 1 to 100, I want you to write this phrase, I accept myself, or I'm happy with myself, blank percent of the time, from 0 to 100. I accept myself, or I'm happy with myself, this much of the time. Anywhere from 0 to 100. Now, I've been doing this long enough to know that there are some of you that you're only putting a number down because you know the person next to you is going to look at it. Okay? If we're being honest, there are some of you who are going to write down something like 20% of the time. There are some of you that are going to write down 90% of the time. I am happy with myself 90% of the time. That sounds pretty good, right? If we're doing the pass-fail thing like school, you're thinking in your mind, as long as I'm over 70%, I'm passing. Some of you are thinking, as long as I'm over 50%, surely that's healthy and that's right. Because, I mean, after all, who's ever completely happy with themselves all the time? Who could possibly be happy with you 100% of the time? Let me ask the question like this. Did anybody put 100%? I'm 100% happy with myself all the time. You are. You've told me that. You've told me that if Shelby was president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln. I don't know how much greater it gets than that. Underneath that phrase, I want you to write another phrase. And this is what we're going to build on, then we're going to head for our groups. We're going to take just a couple more minutes. God accepts me blank percent of the time. And you write in the percent that you think God accepts you. This is a pass or fail answer. There is no, I almost got it right. You either get it completely right or completely wrong. And I'm going to give you the answer by looking at the scriptures. All right, let me run through. I've just got three scriptures for you. And then we're going to go to our groups and talk about what it is we struggle with. First of all, in just a second, I'm going to tell you it's time to get up and go to your groups, right? And something's going to happen. What's going to happen? You're going to get up and go to your group, right? What happens if you don't agree with me that you're going to go to your group? You might get kicked in the face. Thank you, Wolf.
You'll get Wolf scratch your focus in the belly.
What if I said, hey, I'm fixing to go to Sonic. Who wants to go? Right on, right? Who's going to go? Those people that have agreed to go with me. Those that don't agree aren't going to go. Now listen, Amos 3:3, it says this. Do two walk together unless they agree to do so? And it's simply that concept. If you're going to go somewhere with someone, you've got to agree to go with them. Right? You've got two sentences on your piece of paper. One says, I'm happy with myself, or I accept myself this much of the time. Then you have, God accepts me this much of the time. Do those numbers match up? How many of you, your God sentence says 100%? Okay? Students, listen. God loves you and accepts you 100%. And so the disconnect here is you're going to have a hard time walking with God when you can't even agree on the simplest thing about how He sees you. Honestly, we put so much stock in how other people see us. We put so much stock in making sure that the right people are rightly impressed with our accomplishments, our achievements, our personality. Sometimes we know that if we'll just act bad enough, there's a certain group of people that we want to appeal to, that will be appealing to them and they'll like us. And we forget that there's a God who loves you and is 100% accepting of you, and His opinion should be the only one that matters. The number one problem that humanity faces is we fail to see ourselves the way God sees us. Well, I know what you're thinking. So far, all I've said is that we have to agree with God to walk with Him, but I haven't told you why we can think that God accepts us and loves us the way we are. Psalm 139, one of my favorite passages. Starting in verse 13 through 16, it says this, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. What's the psalmist saying? Who made you? It wasn't mommy and daddy. David is saying that from before you were born, God knit you together. It's not just this picture of He threw some stuff together and said, well, there it is. 2.5 pounds of dirt and some God magic and you're human. David uses this phrase that He knit you. He takes a tapestry and that every thread, every fiber of your being was placed there just the way God wants it. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Students, do you hear what David's saying? Do you hear what the Scripture is saying about how you were made? God made you wonderfully. If we go all the way back to Genesis, when it says, when Moses is writing Genesis down for us and he's going through the creation account, whose image does Moses say we were created in? We were created in God's image. So listen, check this with me. for you to think poorly of yourself and the way God made you is to think poorly of His creation. And if I made a painting up here and you said, I hate that painting, it's ugly, who are you really talking about? You're talking about something I made. Listen, God made you. And for you to be unhappy with the way you've been made is to slap God in the face. Because I don't care if you are the creator. I don't like me. Are there days when you're not going to like you? Sure, there are days I don't like me. But I have to get my mind where God's mind is, or I'm not going to be able to walk with Him that day. God says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's an old hymn. To God be the glory, great things He has done. To God be the glory. Y'all don't even know what hymns are. They're the old songs. Okay? Piano and organ, or if you're at the Church of Christ, they get out the little pitch pipe, which it's funny, they don't do the instruments, but that's an instrument. They give you a note and you start singing it. Anyway, that song, to God be the glory, great things He has done. The whole song, all five stanzas of it, it takes you like 14 minutes to sing this song. It's about how every piece of creation points to God's greatness, His goodness, and His creativity. You know who wrote it? A lady who had been blind since she was 6 months old. A lady who, for all intents and purposes, by our standards, has a reason to hate the way she was made. And yet she gets it. Does that mean that she was happy she was blind? Probably not. But she understood how God saw her. And she knows that she was made that way for God's glory. Listen, students, you were made the way you are for God's glory. This is the problem. We think we are made this way for us, and we're not happy with us because we don't get to do what we want to do or what we think is right, and people don't appreciate us the way we think they ought to. We become offended. It's all about us. There's only one person whose opinion matters, and here's their opinion. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to be. God loves you so much that He's already written the story of your life before you were even a thought to your parents. Why can't we love ourselves that way? Well, because of sin, right? That's what we like to say. I can't love myself that way because of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is where we're going to launch into what you guys are going to do in your group. It says this, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. I want you to get this picture. And then when we go to our groups here in just a couple minutes, I want you to answer this question. The thing I hate most about me is this. But here's how I think God feels about that. Okay? Because if I were to bring Jeremiah up here, I'm not. If I were to bring him up here and shove him all the way in my shirt. Now, obviously, you'd still be able to see him, right? You'd see legs kicking and arms dangling out and fluttering. Or Shanna. She's got baby deets growing inside her. When you look at baby deets right now, who do you see? You see Shanna. Students, when we come to that place of following Christ, we like to say, I ask Jesus into my heart. But the more accurate thing, and that's true, Jesus does come into your life. He becomes the center of your life. But the more pressing and more pertinent truth is not that God is in my life, but God has taken you into His life. And when He looks at you, you are hidden in Jesus. When Paul says, if any man is in Christ, it's not just some metaphor for those people that go to church. The word baptizo, baptized, in Greek, it doesn't mean that you go out to the baptistry out here and you get wet. It means that you are put into something. And so when Paul says you've been baptized into Christ, you have literally been put into Christ. Who can finish this verse? I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Close. But Christ lives within me. This life, I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How could it possibly be that you were killed with Christ? He was crucified 2,000 years ago. God is not bound by time, and at the moment that Jesus comes into your life, you come into his, and the Bible says that you join him on the cross, and your sin nature is crucified there with him, and you no longer are the old person you were, but you are a brand new person. That old person died 2,000 years ago, even though that doesn't make sense to us. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And students tonight, listen. Here's what I want you to hear. When you look at you, you need to see Jesus. If God chooses to see you that way, you ought to see you that way too. You're going to have a hard time walking with God for the rest of your life unless you agree to see things his way. And it starts with how he sees you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to go to our groups. We're going to take the next 10 minutes and just finish this phrase for us. The thing I hate most about me is this, but God feels this way about it. And so I want you to help me. I want you to ask God to help you feel the way he does about you.